So, fahren wir, oder?
Sende.
Hier bin ich. This Shabbat is the Parashat Maaseh. The Parashat Maaseh has a special meaning because actually Sefer Dvarim was an option for Moshe Rabbeinu to say it. Chachamim said after Parashat Maaseh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, what would you like to do? Would you like to give your last speech? And this is Sefer Dvarim, the next book that Moshe spoke. Or he just don't want to say nothing, and the mitzvot and the other important things are in Sefer Dvarim, I will spread around the four books. And Moshe chose to say Sefer Dvarim, but again, Sefer Dvarim was an optional. In a way, it is also, says the Rav Vilna, a lower level of the four Chumashim. Will actually the Torah end at the end of this week's parasha, Parashat Maaseh? And then the Torah concludes the last pasuk, and it's parasha ilah mitzvot, shetiva Hashem yisadot at the mitzvot, it says, this it, finished, there's no more. Again, Sefer Dvarim is an optional. Again, Rami Vilna says that Sefer Dvarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he told Moshe to write it, it was on a level that Shekhinah was talking from the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's not the same level that Hashem actually did tell Moshe Rabbeinu to write the Torah. The first four books, Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, this is actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and told him, write this, write this, write this, write this. Sefer Dvarim is something was talking from Moshe's throat, means the Shekhinah was talking from his throat, it's not that Hashem told him, so-called face-to-face, mouth-to-mouth, to say. Of course it's Torah Kedosha, of course it's Hashem told Moshe in the end to write it, and we have Sefer Dvarim, but again, Rabbi Vilna said, it's not the same level of message that we get from the first four books. And again, by the way, if you remember, the Gemara says, those four books are not really four books. This book, Sefer Bamidbar, is really considered as three, plus three before, it's already six books we have, that really the Chumash ends really at Parashat Maaseh. That's how important this parasha is. This parasha always being read on the second Shabbat after Shiva Esrei Tammuz, it means the Shabbat before Shabbat Chazon is 2 weeks before Tisha B'Av. Always this parasha is in the middle. Sometimes this parasha is together with the parasha before Matot Maaseh, and Pinchas is so-called the first one that in those 3 weeks that we are at. But this three, because it's a leap year, so Parashat Maaseh is by itself, and Parashat Maaseh is again has to be read all the time 2 weeks before Tisha B'Av, the 2 weeks before Tisha B'Av. How important this parasha is, tremendous important. In some Bet Knesset, when you're going to read on Shabbat as well, some of them tomorrow as well, when they start Elim Asev Neisrael, this is the parasha, those are so-called the stops of Am Yisrael, Asher Yatzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell us the 42 stops that Am Yisrael went out by the time they reached the destination at the edge of Eretz Israel. Since there are 42, and 42 is a very important number, 42 is a very high, very important number. This is the number of the letters in Ana Bechoach Durati Mincha, that's called Shem Membet, it's called the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has 42 letters. And Masev Israel, says Ari, all the Chachamim, the stops that have exactly the same number 42 stops, we stopped in the desert, and all around until we reached Eretz Israel, those stops are on the same level of Ana Bechoach. Ana Bechoach, again, this is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is the name that Zohar said Hashem created this world, that has 42 letters. Maaseh, this parasha has 42 stops. So every stop that Am Yisrael stops in the desert was something very similar to a letter from Hashem's name. And some Chachamim say, therefore, on Shabbat, I don't know what they're going to do in this Knesset, but some of the Knesset, they will not stop at Sheni they will not stop in the middle of the Masaot, in the middle of the stops, because it means that you stop in the middle of the name that's called Shem Membet, the name that contains 42 letters, it's Ana Bechorach. And Ana Bechorach is a very, very powerful name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that some people need Rufa Shlema, Tzmacha, this death name has a tremendous power. This is what we said before Shacharit, we said before Mincha. Some people say to say it before you go to sleep, if you want to wake up in a certain energy. So before you go to sleep, you should have a special Kavanah Ana Bechorach. That's a very important Bakasha and request in Tefillah. It says, Elam Asen, those are the stops that Am Yisrael made in the desert. It said there are 42 stops. Therefore, some Chachamim say you should not stop at Sheni. Mr. Levi will get the Levi, not at Sheni, will get the Levi at Shlishi. Because you should not stop from the beginning, this is chapter 33, until the last stop that ends the Shlishi, do not stop on Sheni. Again, this is according to Minyagim, Mazitin Shulchan Aruch. Some Chachamim Shulchan Aruch says, do not stop. Again, the Arizal said, don't stop. That's to show us how important this is for Asha. It's not just a summary that the Torah is going so-called to give you what did happen since we came out of Mitzrayim. It contains some kind of secret in those stops that they are very similar to the name of Chizmur Ana Bechor. So that parasha is a very special parasha, this week's parasha. So again, this parasha has some kind of summary and more details, some of the details that's missing in other parashiyot to tell us so-called what happened when we came out of Egypt. So this is how I start, Elam Atevne Israel, chapter 33, sentence 1, with your permission, Asher Tumeret Mifraim Lepilotam, they came out of Egypt. So of course, the first question is, I don't have to know it, the Torah is not a history book, and I don't have to go through the names now. If Hashem would have wanted us to know that secret of it's called Shem Membet, the name of 42 letters, Hashem would have told us late before, but not as a repetition. You don't have to repeat now all the stops. So Hashem here brings what Chachamim say. The Chachamim say, listen, I want to tell you something. This is why Moshe Rabbeinu writes this, is because to tell you, to teach you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very kind to us. What is kindness being measured with? His kindness was measured with the idea that we were traveling in the desert for 40 years, and when we traveled 40 years, all together in 40 years with 42 stops. And you look at the Chumash and you see that the 42 stops, you can divide it into three groups. Group number one is the first year. The first we came out of Egypt, we stopped 14 times. Loading, unloading, the donkeys, putting the tent up, putting the tent down, 14 times. Then the second so-called phase was 8 times that we stopped, and we load and unload, and then the third phase was 20 times. So altogether 42, 14 and 8 and 20. But to tell you, listen, I want you to know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have wanted, he would have dragged us and would tell us, go here, go there. There's certain years that we didn't move from one spot, but Hashem, we parked nice in the desert. And that's the purpose of this parasha, to tell you, listen, those are the stops Am Yisrael had when they came out of Egypt. But you should know, it was not as bad as it could have been. If Hashem would not have been kind to you, who knows what would have been? He says, excuse me, I would like you just to take it apart. He says, you just said that the first year they moved and they stopped 14 times. Can you imagine you have to move from your apartment with your wife and the children 14 times within a year? 14 times Am Yisrael had to pack and unpack, load and unload in the first year. That by itself is a tragedy, a big tragedy. Nevertheless, you want to show the kindness of Hashem. I says, to kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been very nice if I would not have to move at all. This is not from one stop or two stops, but not to say 14 times, it means that every 3 weeks we moved. Every 3 weeks, every 3 weeks we had to move. Load and unload, put the tent, fold the tent. This is not called kindness. By the way, this is very strange, it's three phases. It's one time, I mean the first year we moved 14 times, and then we moved 8 times, and then we moved 20 times. That's why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu so-called divided it into groups But the group is three. By the way, if you want to say the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be measured as something much more important and powerful. It's if you tell me, listen, Ele Masebni Israel, you want to know, we traveled in the desert for 40 years, Baruch Hashem, we had enough food, Baruch Hashem, we had enough water, the Chag Gemara said, the way the Surah tells us, didn't have to bring you clothing for the Chinese cleaner, he didn't have to fix your shoes. Hashem Baruch Hu made us a lot of miracles in the desert. This is not what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell you. Listen, Ele Masebni in Israel. He said, no, those are the stuff that Israel made in the desert. It's just to tell you how kind HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. You know, Hashem is very kind to you. He only stopped 42 times in the desert, loaded and unloaded 42 times. First of all, it's not kindness at all. And secondly, if you want to tell me how kind HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, tell me, I can tell you what he did to us in the desert. He was very kind to us. He supported us. He supplied the food. He did everything we needed in the desert. He had... מה יהיה עכשיו זה באמצע? מה אתה יכול לקחת את זה במקום אחר? אני רואה שאתה שמר פה. By the way, you can watch it live. The name of the site is what?
Gidele.
Gidele. Gidele.
Can you spell things?
Yeah. This month he made a new site. It's called Gidele. Huh? No, Mr. Samuels. So that's the first explanation that why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write this week's parasha is to tell you, to teach you how kind HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to us. The second explanation, the Chachamim say, is something just the opposite. And Chachamim say, listen, I want to tell you first a story, Mashal Lemelech. He says, I want to tell you a story about the king. Sheya bnu chole, his son was very sick. Ve'olicho lemakom rachok l'rapoto, he took his son, he said, I'm taking him to a very good hospital. It's called Moab Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He says, he takes his son very far away. And kivan shayu chozrin, when they go back to the palace, התחיל אביב מונה כל המצאות, his father started to count all the stops. And he tells the son the following. אמר לו, כאן ישנו, when we're in this motel, on the way to the hospital, we slept there. The next motel, he says, you know what, כאן קרנו. Over here, you know, the air conditioner was too low. You know, it was too cold over here. כאן חשת בראשך. Over here, you had a headache. He says, on the way back from the hospital, back to the palace, the king counts, again, only three stops, not 42 stops. Maybe it's just an example, maybe not, we'll see later. But the king tells his son, remember, on the way to the hospital, remember this motel over here was left. Remember this motel was too cold, the room was too cold. Remember this motel, you had a headache. So, Hashem says, Moshe, you go to tell Am Yisrael, you want to know something? Tell them, since day one, you did not behave, and you insulted me, you complained to me, this is what Ele Masebni Israel, that's just the opposite explanation of what we said before, tell you, to teach you, you should know, those are the stops of Am Israel, to tell you, listen, in America, you were a bad boy, you were a bad boy, he says, what does it mean? He says, we're going to repeat the stops, and to tell you over here you weren't good over here. First of all, it's not accurate, it's not exactly, of course it is and it isn't, but for example, there are some stops that were very good. Very good. For example, the stop we got the Torah, and Bar Sinai was very good. This is one of the stops, Bar Sinai. There are a few more stops, again, there's no information if you were bad over there. So you can say, Ele Masebni Israel, it means those are the stops that Israel stopped in the desert, they were very bad boys from day one, to now, 40 years later, all the time we were bad, in every stop we were bad. Doesn't sound like this in the Midrash or in the Gemara. The Gemara, the Mishnah Pesach Avot says 10 times we were bad. Not every stop, didn't have a word every stop. And again, certain stops were very good. Hashem said, Elim Asev Neisrael, to teach you, to tell you, you should know, they were bad boys. It's okay, they were bad boys. So why the Torah has to tell you this? Nothing. So Hashem doesn't have to tell you, listen, I want to tell you, you were very bad in the desert. Okay, so if I was bad, I know. If I wasn't bad, I also know. So it's not necessary to go and repeat all the stops now, to read this parasha, listen, those are the stops, this is a what, and you're bad over there. Okay, so for this I have to repeat it. That's okay. With your permission, a sentence two by Tom Moshet Motaim Lemasayim, the way the Torah writes it. The Torah says like this, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to write now, the stops. By Tom Moshe et Motaim, simple explanation, it means like this. Moshe wrote the time and the place that they left the place, it's called Motaim, Lemasayim, when they went on the trip, Hapi Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to write it, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them go. Ve'ele maseim lemotzaim. Now the Torah switches. In the beginning of the Pasuk it says, motzaim lemaseim. It says they left the place to go on the journey. The last two words of the sentence, ve'ele maseim lemotzaim. This is the journey. They were left lemotzaim with the time they left. It's just opposite, the Torah switches. The two words. One, in the beginning of the Pasuk, the Torah says, Motzaim Lemasayim, they first, they came out, and then they traveled. And at the end of the Pasuk, the Torah says, Ve'ele Masayim Lemasayim, these are the travel to go out of the place they left. It says, just said before, they left to go. Now you say, they went to come, they went to live, they went to leave. Just happened. Okay, if you don't mind, just to skip to sentence 38. It's the same chapter 33, sentence 38. This is one of the stops. We are now at 4 hours. It's called, this is like a mountain, top of a mountain. Vaya la'on la'kohen elora al-pi Hashem, vaya mosham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, go take your brother all the way up to that mountain. By the way, it's in Jordan. By the way, people know where it is. By the way, you can go visit it. Visit this place if you have a gun. You have to go with a few donkeys and they take you to the mountain. We don't know exactly where exactly Aharon was buried, but we know exactly where is the what's called Hor Ha'ar, this mountain. And the Arabs over there know it very well. And you have to go to Jordan, and you know in Jordan the highways are not so good. Not even like David and Moshe, there you go with a jeep. Over there you have to go with donkeys. But you have to have one gun or two guns with you for safety. But there are buses that go from Israel. This year, Sebayam Ucham Mishnat Abayim, Sebayam Ucham Bachodesh, Chamishim Echad Bachodesh, Aharon HaKohen's day that he passed away, his, what we call in America, Yortayt, is on Rosh Chodesh Av, this Shabbat. If it doesn't fall on Shabbat, buses go from Israel to Jordan, and they go over there to that mountain. Again, we don't know on that mountain where exactly the place is, but we do know the mountain exactly. The same way we do know exactly the mountain that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. Exactly. It's not far from there. Very close to it. Again, it's in Jordan, but again, we don't know the spot on the mountain exactly where Moshe was buried. But it's the same idea. They're both in Jordan, not far from each other. And again, Hashem writes in the Torah here, you should know, if somebody is going to ask you, where did Aharon HaKohen die, you can tell him, Rosh Chodesh Av, this is Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh Av. By the way, it's the only time in the Tanakh that you know exactly, in the Torah definitely, I think in the Tanakh, that you know exactly when somebody passed away. You don't know for sure when Aharon HaKohen died, when Moshe Rabbeinu died. You don't know. Even some people say it's Zayin Vadar, again, it's a machloket in the Midrash, if it's really actually the same Vadar, it's not for sure. And even if it's for sure, it doesn't say this in the Torah. The only time it says in the Torah, the day that somebody died, that you can put your hand on the Torah, it says, I know, this Shabbat, this is the day that Aharon HaKohen died. You can put your hand on the Torah and swear. You cannot put your hand on the Torah and swear about anybody else. Nobody. Not Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, not Shvatim. Of course, the Midrash will tell you this, because again, the different opinions. But even if it's true, one of the opinions doesn't say this in the Torah. See, the Torah decided to write it. I said, excuse me, I would like to know what the important thing of the day Rosh Chodesh Av, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in the Torah that that's the day that Aharon HaKohen passed away. This is why Torah has to write it. And if it's so important, the Torah should have wrote it Parashat Chukat, when Aharon died, and then the Torah should have said, you should know, Aharon died, Rosh Chodesh Av. This the Torah doesn't write it here. This is too late. Actually, when this thing happened, Aaron died, and Moshe took him up to Orar, and Aaron went into the cave, and Moshe came down, and said, Aaron is dead? They said, what date was it? We don't know. They said, Torah left it here. They said, how come? Why the Torah did not say it in Parashat Chukat? And again, what's the importance of it to know when did Aaron die? Why do you have to light a candle for him? What's the purpose? What do you have to know? Why do you have to know it? Nothing. ואהרון בן שלוש ועשרים ומאות שנה במותו באורר. אהרון was 123 years. Also, I don't know why you have to know it, but this is a secret, why you have to know it. As if somebody is going to ask you how old was Aaron, you say 123. אז בידי permission sentence 40, פסוק מהם וישמע הכנעני מלך ערד ביושב בנגב בארץ כנען. It says, when Aaron הכהן died, the כנעני, this is Amalek, heard that Aaron died. בבוא בני ישראל, he heard it and and what happened? But then he heard it. He heard its end. He says, I heard something. The seven banks in America went bankrupt today. So what's your conclusion? We're going to get all the money out of the bank and make sure that every that you have the money spread all around the banks that you have FDIC. But you don't really know it. You heard it. So your Amalek heard that Aaron died. So actually what happened? If you look back at Parashat Chukat, it says Amalek attacked Am Yisrael. What happened was, when Aharon HaKohen died, the cloud that was on top of Am Yisrael in the desert, that no one was able to pinpoint where Am Yisrael was, because it was like a fog all around the desert, wherever they went was a fog. Today we call it Mother Nature. But those days they knew the fog is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they could not find Am Yisrael. When Aharon HaKohen died, the day he died, the cloud was not there anymore. And therefore, Amalek came, and not he came, he attacked himself. You can find this information in Parashat Chukat. Actually, when the Torah tells you about Aharon's death, the Torah immediately tells you, no, when Aharon died, immediately it was a war. He said, who came? Amalek came. So, here the Torah doesn't say it. Here the Torah doesn't say Amalek attacked. I mean, the Torah says, Vayishma akna'ani melech ad u'ishe b'negeh b'yat k'na'an, it's Amalek heard that Aharon died. The book in Israel, and Am Israel are here because there's no cloud, and the most important part is missing. Even if you would not have done, it's not important. So listen, you only have what happened. Somebody came to and tried to go into my house. So did he go? Yeah, he did. So right, he did. So the Torah doesn't say that. And again, it's not important. What's the idea to repeat this part here? I said, you're telling me about the stops in the desert. So tell me, one of the stops called Hoa, you want to tell me Aaron died of it? Okay, Aaron died of it. That's it. There's no, you should know that Amalek arrived. And he doesn't even say he arrived. He says he heard. Chachamim say what it means is that the Amalek heard. It means that he thought that since you see there's no more cloud, and now he can recognize and find the place of Am Yisrael, he says, now maybe he is going to attack them. Did he? He did. So the Torah should have wrote it. He did attack Am Yisrael. The whole thing is missing. End of the parasha. We see with your permission, I believe it's chapter 36. Yeah. No, Shavi. Chapter 36, with your permission, it says, ויצרבו ראשי האבות למשפחת נגילה במעשה מנשה לבחור מיוסף, אמרו לפני משה ונשיא משה ותדני ישראל, became the president, so-called of the families of Menashe, came to Moshe, ויאמרו את אדוני ציווה השם נתן את הארץ ונחלה בגבעה בני ישראל, הסביר הקדוש ברוך הוא told you to give ארץ ישראל with the so-called lotter. אדוני ציווה בשם נתן את הארץ ונחלה בגבעה בני ישראל, and also you said that הקדוש ברוך הוא told you to give the heritage of Mr. Slopcha to his daughters, since Mr. Slopcha had no boys, and they had five daughters, and you are going to give them part in Eretz Israel because they had no brothers. So what's going to happen? I said, you know what was going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. I said, those five girls are going to get married, and they're going to get married maybe to another person from a different tribe. So what it means is like this. I said, when a lady gets married to the husband, so she goes after the husband. If the husband is a Levi, so she lives next to Levi. If the husband is a Yehuda, she lives next to Yehuda. I said, if those five girls are going to find a shiluch, they're going to find a match, the mesh, then they mate, the match. So they're going to find somebody, and they might get married to anyone, from Israel, of course. And then what's going to happen is that they have some pieces of real estate. And a piece of real estate in the territory of Menashe. So it belongs so-called to the tribe of Menashe, say, but I dwell in the part that belongs, it was designated to Menashe. I said, so that lady went to marry somebody, let's say, from Shevet Yehuda. So when you get married, so you tell your husband, okay, you know, Baruch Hashem, you do very well, but let me tell you, I have real estate also. I got real estate from my father. I said, okay, that real estate now is, you know, because you got married to me, and I'm from Shevet Yehuda, and I belong to Shevet Yehuda. You know, I'm from Yehuda. So what's going to happen is that you're going to have some kind of islands in the territory of Menashe. So those five girls getting a territory, and that territory really is among the territories of Shevet Menashe, but since this girl is going to get married maybe to another tribe, so by marriage, actually what's going to happen is that the husband is going to come with a flag. It says, I'm from Yehuda, and my flag there is a lion. He's going to stick it on the top of the house, like, you know, those people in Yerushalayim, those Ashraf and Machshimam, they have this Palestinian flag in the middle of Yerushalayim. And it says, this might cause some kind of confusion, that you're going to have little islands, little territories in territories, like Liechtenstein, like Monaco, you know, that you have a different country, a different state, and different inside the line of the state. I said, that's wrong. I come to Moshe Rabbeinu. I said, Moshe, we don't think it's right. He says, with all the respect, those girls should not marry anybody but from this tribe. So Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, they happen to be right. Those girls must get married to someone from the own tribe, from Menashe, Mazal Tov. And here the HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes, Baruch Hashem, the wedding was Baruch Hashem, Teres in the park, Baruch Hashem, those five girls got married to the own cousins from Menashe. The wedding was very happy, Baruch Hashem, and Baruch Hashem, the territory stayed together within this tribe. Baruch Hashem, you don't have to worry about an island inside another state. It says Baruch Hashem, that stayed among the same people. Baruch Hashem, we Menashe, we stayed Menashe. By the way, this decision was cancelled immediately after this generation. This was only one generation, once. After they got to us, Israel, immediately the next generation cancelled it. It says you can intermarry, you don't have to marry somebody from your tribe. The whole thing was once, only when you came to us, Israel. After you came to us, Israel, the whole thing was void. It says you can intermarry tribe to tribe, so it's going to be island inside territories of a different tribe, doesn't matter. And here, the first time, the first so-called Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them they're going to Eretz Israel, they're going to divide the land per tribe. It says this time, every girl should marry a boy from her own tribe if she owns real estate. Since those girls own real estate, it says, please do not intermarry with another tribe in order to keep the territory inside that tribe. Because if you marry another guy from a different tribe, actually what it means is the real estate the lady owns really now has a different flag on top of the territory.
Did Hashem tell him this from the beginning?
No.
When he gave
him the approval? No, that's approval. No, that's approval. They're getting a real estate.
They're
getting
land.
They're getting land.
Yeah.
No. No, they also not even tell him. since they came and complained to Moshe, then Moshe called the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, the people said that it's going to be like an island inside a state. Moshe said, you know what? They're right. Tell the girls, best thing, they should marry somebody from their own tribe, and that's the Torah will tell you, Baruch Hashem, Mazal Tov, it's Maftir, Vatiena, Machla, Vatir Tzav, Vechoglam, Melkav, Nal, Nusaf, Nezor, Nashim, Yishor, Nezor, Nezor, Nashim, Et Nachlam, Nezor, Nezor, Baruch Hashem, Mazal Tov. Really?
They don't like the other
guys.
I know that.
I never heard such a thing. First time in my life. In Oregon? Where? In Hampton? Never heard about it. I never heard about it. But over here, I said that again, this took place only one generation, the first generation that was cancelled. It was only the first when they moved to Israel, they had to marry from its own tribe. After that, they cancelled right away, on Tu B'Av.
How did they cancel?
The Gemara says, they read the Torah, and they said Hashem said it over here, just for this generation. That's the thing that sentence 6. It says, Zeh HaDavar, the Gemara Masechet, I ask you a question, Mr. Albert, and the Gemara answers that the people learned, and they took the Torah and they looked every word. It says, Zeh HaDavar, the Gemara Masechet, I says, this is the thing for that generation only, so after the generation. By the way, that decision was made on Tu B'Av, by the way. So Mizrat Hashem will talk about this after the Shabbat B'Av, with Tu B'Av. It says that decision to cancel that condition was made on Tu B'Av. Hashem Knesset HaGdolah, with the wisdom, when they made the tefillah for Shacharit, the Birkot HaShachar, then the Brachot. So in the Brachot, two of the Brachot what we have is one is Shasadi Kol Tzorki, it's like Kadosh Baruch Hu did everything what I need. That's what the explanation of that sentence. As we say in the morning, Shasadi Kol Tzorki, Hashem, you did everything for me. By the way, that's the Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. That bracha refers to the shoes. Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me shoes. This is so important to be in the shoe business because everybody in the morning says, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me shoes. That's how important it is. It's a lot of money in the shoes. Especially the one from China. By the time you wear it, you have to buy another one. So Sha'asali Kotsoki and the Chacham Avadia Yosef, and as well the other Chachamim say, you know, that's how important this bracha is, that bracha you should not recite on Tisha B'Av and not on Yom Kippur, because you cannot wear shoes. You should say this bracha when you wake up in the morning on Tisha B'Av, you should skip the bracha. The bracha you should say Motza'e Tisha B'Av or Motza'e Yom Kippur when actually you change your sneakers into shoes. I says that bracha the Mordechai in the Sefer Sheikh Knesset HaGdolah made this bracha in the Siddur, and you say in the morning you say this bracha Sha'asali Kol Tzorki HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did everything for me. What mean everything? Mean shoes. He did everything? Says the Gemara, yeah, it's everything. Lo'olam yimkor adam kol ma sheyesh lo v'yikne min alim l'raglav. Says the Gemara, if you have no shoes, sell your house, sell your building, buy yourself shoes. That's how important it is to have shoes. The Gemara doesn't say about clothing, because clothing you can go and borrow. But shoes, the Gemara says, don't borrow shoes. It says shoes, you should own your own shoes. It's a very powerful thing, the shoes. This is why. That's the question, why. not only that, Mordechai and Esther later say another bracha right next to it. Is Asher Echim Mitzadei Gaver. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you prepared the steps of a person. So what does it mean? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared my steps. What's so important about my steps? Rashi says like this. The Medra says the following. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to make a Mishkan actually. So the purpose of the Mishkan was something that should go into so-called three phases. Phase number one, that you can find it mainly in the Tanakh, mainly in Sefer Yechezkel, but also in Tehillim Elat, as we are called Rama. We are called the sheep, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being called a shepherd. That's phase one. Phase two is we are a vineyard, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the watchman. By the way, you know, we were very familiar with the Shir Amarot. You say, Adonai Shomrecha, Adonai Tzadcha Yadimimineha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over you. Adonai Shmotzcha Ovecha Matah Ba'ad Olam, Hashem is going to watch you. He's going to watch over you. He says, it's true, Ari says. But it's only in one condition, that you are considered a vineyard. Hashem doesn't walk as a watchman. Hashem watches over you, not because he watches over you, because you are the vineyard. Anam Kamecha, we are your vineyard, that's what we say in Yom Kippur. Hashem Midrash says, the Chachamim say, what it means is, the first level, Hashem is your shepherd, second level, Hashem is your watchman, third level, Hashem is your father, and he wants to be next to you, please make him a place to be next to you, and that's the purpose of the Mishkan. In Rashi, I want to explain to you, that those are so-called a critical phases that you must go in life. That says when you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you stand for the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, give me this, give me that, I need this, it says you have to climb. It says first, you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shepherd, it says I am like a sheep. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so cold, he's my shepherd, so a shepherd usually takes care of the sheep. Also HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has to watch over me, excuse me, who has to watch over me, that nothing will happen to me. Shepherd doesn't watch so much. And the highest level, the highest level is, you should know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your father. And then the father takes care of his child completely. So actually, Ari says, before you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaharit Mincha Arvit, or Arvit Shaharit Mincha, so before you stand up, you have to feel it. You have to feel that I am a sheep, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my shepherd, I am so-called the vineyard, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the watchman, Adonai Shomrecha, and I am the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you start, talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the desert, says Dari, I want to explain to you what went on in the desert. Of course, when you read the Torah, and the Torah tells you, when we came out of Egypt, the Torah tells you some kind of highways to go to Eretz Israel. What's the right way should have been taken by Am Israel to go to Eretz Israel? That's why we don't come and look in the Eretz Pishtim. You should know when we came out of Egypt, really the quickest way to go to Eretz Israel is you go via Gaza and Ashkelon, and in no time you're in Israel. It takes one day. All Am Israel in Eretz Israel. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us around. This is why I took you around. It took us around because the Torah said if it would have taken us straight, we would have come back to Egypt right away. So Hashem had to take us around because, so-called, we were not ready to go to the right place. That's not as bad, says Dali, that's not as bad. The worst thing is, and let me say, that we say Moshe Shabbat, You should know every place you go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu walks with you. He sends angels to walk along with you, to guard you, to watch you, to show you the way, but the way that he wants to go, not the way that you want to go. So you get up in the morning, says David HaMelech in Tehilim, Chishavti Drachai V'Ashiv Argvei Aladotecha. You wake up in the morning and say, listen, I want to go to my office, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, I want to go to my office, okay, now I'll do next. Bezrat Hashem, I do next, and then I go to my office early. It says, perfect. It's no sin, it's sinless, it's perfect job. Go do it. There's only one problem. You have to make sure Hashem wants to go to your office at 8 o'clock. How do you know? Maybe Hashem doesn't want to go. You cannot go unless you know Hashem wants to go along with you. He might choose a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he wants to go a different direction. So what happened is that you're dragging a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the wrong destination he doesn't want to go. And that's actually what happened in the desert. 40 years in the desert, we dragged a Kadosh Baruch Hu the wrong way. He actually wanted, if you know me, as Mr. Albert will tell you from Egypt, you go 5 minutes in Israel. 5 minutes. That's Sadiq, Yemach Shimo, Abdul Nasser, said, in 5 minutes my tanks will be in Tel Aviv. 5 minutes. In the water.
In
the water. He made a stamp. I saw the stamp. I saw the stamp. Before the Six-Day War, Egypt printed a stamp. Tel Aviv is burning. Burning. And he said, I remember on the radio he said, in 5 minutes all our tanks cross and we Tel Aviv. And he says, Am Israel could have come to Eretz Israel in no time. Instead, I can go to cut around the desert. He said, what's the problem? I said, it's your problem. And what's my problem? The problem is that I don't think where Hashem wants to go. I think where I want to go. So I don't want to go there, because if I would have gone there, something would happen. I would have gone back to Egypt. So what happened was, actually, that's what the Torah writes. In Parashat B'Shalach, actually, when we came out of Egypt, Hashem writes in the Torah, you want to know something? Maybe Shalach Paro et Ha'am. He says, Baruch Hashem, we left Egypt. And so where are you going? He says, we're going to the desert. Amidbar, Derech Yamsuf. We go to the Yamsuf. So where you go over there? That's the wrong way to go to Israel. He says, no. If Hashem would have told us, go that way to Israel, via Gaza and Ashkelon, we would have regretted and came back to Egypt. So it's our fault. 40 years in the desert, that we went around and around, and all the tragedies that we know, that we had in the Chumash, this happened, the Raglim happened, this happened, you know what happened. It says, day one, that you came out of Egypt, your attitude was bad. What was the attitude? You should have been like a sheep. A sheep follows the shepherd. You don't ask the shepherd to follow the sheep. Actually, what you did is made a Kadosh Baruch Hu go the wrong way. So that's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. That's the Gemara says, David HaMelech every morning said, I'm going to my office in the morning. And actually he left it up to his feet. Says the Gemara, the feet of a person that had a tremendous power. That if you get up in the morning, Cesari, this was the wisdom of Anshei Knesset Torah. They made those two brachot, Shasali Kol Tzorti, Asher Chi Mitzadei Gaber. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you very much, I have shoes. What do you mean, I have shoes for? That's everything. So what do you mean, that's everything? He says, if your feet will take you to the place Hashem wants to be there. Not that Hashem wants you to be there. Actually, Hashem wants to go someplace. But He will follow your footsteps. That says, if you're going to go to the right place, Hashem is going to go along with you. It says, you go to the office, He says, I'm going to the office because Hashem wants to go to the office, not because I dragged Hashem to the office. That says, that's the highest level that a person should reach. David HaMelech said, in the morning I thought I'm going to my palace and I'm going here. I found myself in Bet Knesset, Shiva Gaya Eled Zotecha. He says, I thought I'm going this way. All of a sudden I found myself in a different way. He says, you want to know something? The feet of the person had a tremendous power to find the right way what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be there. It's not your decision. He says, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm going to travel over there, I'm going to go over there, I'm going to come back. He says, if you can go, Hashem will let you go. But you have to make sure Hashem wants to go, because you're going to take him over there. Because wherever a Jew goes, Hashem goes along with him. So forget about if Chas Shalom you went to the wrong place. That totally is forbidden to be in there, in that place. But let's assume you're allowed to go. I'm just going to visit someplace. I said, before you go, you have to put your hand on the mezuzah, says Zahri, says the Zohar, and pray to Hashem. I'm going to that place because I hope you want to go over there. But if you don't want to go, and I'm going to go, I'm going to drag you over there. So that's the major issue with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because then the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not so-called watching you anymore. You dragged him. So you're on your own. So it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, but he doesn't act like a shepherd, not a watchman, and not your father. So all your life can be miserable, as he says. And he says, you went to the wrong place. But again, it's not the wrong place because you made the decision to go over there. It's the wrong place because Hashem, he did not want to go over there. That's what Torah says in Parashat B'Shalach. By the way, in the beginning, it says Hashem did not take you to Israel in the short way, and then you could avoid the whole problem. If you read the Chumash, it says, look, golden calf, meraglim, the spies, they complain, Korah, everything, all the tragedy from A to Z. They said, what is the problem? You know what's the problem? The problem is you did not feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the shepherd. You did not feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your watchman. He's not your father. So what does that mean? Forget about if you did good or not good. But the sin, actually, it is that you don't behave that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shepherd, and you dragged him. You dragged him to Sinai desert. Look what happened in Ve'elem HaTev Bnei Yisrael. Let me explain to you something. There are three phases. In the first year, we had to load and unload 14 times. Every 3 weeks, can you imagine, you get married, every 3 weeks you have to move to another apartment. This is what's behind it. It says this is to correct phase one. Phase one is you have to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the shepherd and you the sheep. In Egypt, you did not feel it. It says you did not feel at all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the shepherd, and therefore you're in the desert. Let me tell you now, I'm going to make you back. Unpack, load, unload, get stuck with the suitcases in Kennedy Airport, back and forth. He said, I lost my suitcases. What happened? He says, this is because you don't understand. You don't consider HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a shepherd. This was phase one. That's what the Gemara says. Chachamim say, you should know, Ele Matev Nei Israel. I want to tell you something. Hashem was very kind to you. What do you mean he was kind to you? He was kind to you that really, when you finish now this book, Bamidbar, instead of this is the book, if you were in the desert and you read everything, all the tragedy that actually made them die in the desert, and that generation would never go to Eretz Israel, this is because they did not behave and you did not consider HaKadosh Baruch Hu as your shepherd, as your watchman, as your father. So let me tell you something, you in the generation, I'm going to try to teach you this. The first year, we stopped 14 times, every 3 weeks. I said, what does this mean? That you're not by yourself, you're not dragging. This is going to be a crowd in the desert, and we'll tell you, okay, stop, unload your or your mind. They said sometimes it was a day, sometimes it was 2 days, everybody pack, unpack. It's the morning, which is we're moving, we just unpack the suitcases, we just hung up the suit. They're going, if you don't go, you stay in the desert. To teach you that what, how important it is to feel that you are a shepherd. Second stage is to feel that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your watchman and you the vineyard. This is 8 times we act on that. Phase number 3, to feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your father, it's 20 times better than that. This is phase number 2 is 8 times. 8 times. So what happened 8 times? I'll tell you what happened. 8 times we so-called we pack and unpack. This was the time that Aharon HaKohen died. Aharon HaKohen, the Gemara says, the cloud in the desert it was Bizchut Aharon. Means like this, when the Goyim wanted to attack Am Israel, he could not find Am Israel in the desert. It was a fog, was a cloud. When Aaron died, the cloud disappeared. The cloud, so-called, was watching us, was a watchman for us. This is phase 2. Aaron died Rosh Chodesh Av. Here the Torah will tell you, listen, Parashat Maaseh, you should know, I won't tell you the secret. Aaron died Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av, this is the stage. This is 8 days from Rosh Chodesh Av to Tisha B'Av, 8 days. 8 days, every day is compared to one stop. This is 8 stops. We stopped in the desert, we moved, and back, unpacked. This is Aaron dying, this is why. So when Aaron died, the cloud disappeared. The cloud disappeared, came Amalek. He said, what is this? He says, I see they have no watchman anymore. It doesn't matter if he attacked us. That's not important. Because you know what happened? When Aaron died, Amalek attacked us. Big deal, so? So we had a lot of wars. No. You understand? When Aaron died, there was no watchman anymore. There was no watchman anymore. Amalek came. Amalek came again. Not because he wants to attack us. Of course he wants to attack us. But he came to show us what it means, no watchman. The Zet Torah over here says, hey, this Parashat Maaseh, Hashem writes it. I said, you should know, Aaron died, but you should know, when Aaron died because it was Rosh Chodesh Av, so this is the time that you have no watchman. And so that's what Torah says, Vayishma, Knaani Melech Arad, Hashem Etzel Givah Yisrael, Torah doesn't say over here, Amalek attacked Am Yisrael. It's not important. But Torah wants to tell you, it's called phase two. Phase two is called there's no watchman. No watchman means there's no cloud. Was no cloud, Amalek arrives. So that's what the Chachamim say. You should know, Parashat Maaseh is the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he, with his mercy, decided still to come back and show us so-called those three phases, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shepherd, even though that we did not feel it and we dragged him into the desert for 40 years. We dragged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, let's see Parsha. The Haftarah that we read was in Yirmiyahu chapter 1. And over there, we read in Haftarah, Zacharti la'chesed no'ai, chavat kurotach, etech ha'chabam ibar b'yatzo zeruah. It says that sentence means that we were a sheep and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a shepherd. We went to the desert after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This Haftarah, this is Parsha. I don't know what Haftarah. Some people will not read it this Shabbat because it's a Rosh Chodesh. It's all machloket about it. But anyway, the usual Haftarah of Parashat Maaseh, this is the second Shabbat after Shabbat Tamuz, so-called the second Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. The Haftarah will say those words, V'anuchi netatich sorek, you are my vineyard. This is called phase two. Shabbat Chazon, Shabbat Parashat Varim, Banim gidalti beromamti. This is its phase three. This is the 3 weeks that we are at the Zari. It's not just 3 weeks of mourning. It's three phases that we have to correct and understand what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is all about. And then the Gemara says, B'tisha B'av B'Mashiach. This is why? Because you corrected so-called the three phases. Week number one, you corrected the phase that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shepherd and you the sheep. This Shabbat you correct phase number two that you are the vineyard, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the watchman, and phase number three is the next Shabbat. He says this is the phase that you have to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your father and you are his son. And this is what the Gemara says, that's really actually phase number three. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided we should have a Mishkan, Bet HaMikdash. He says that's what Chachamim say, Bet HaMikdash should come back on Tisha B'Av, it's because it's phase three. It's not just because the Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed, and we say Nachem, it says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are going to rebuild Beit HaMikdash. He's going to rebuild Beit HaMikdash because he's our father, says Chachamim, and now the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to reach that level. So therefore, Chachamim says, that's what really what it means. And Moshe Rabbeinu writes this parasha, first he says, Avelim, Motzayel Ma'atem, you should know really, you left Egypt. You left Egypt and you start traveling. I said, but I want to explain to you something. Actually, the traveling, what you did, is not just the traveling here on earth. This is what you did is you dragged the Shekhinah with you. From upstairs, you dragged it. This is the Ere Matayim the Motayim. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu switches the words. This is actually what you thought that you're going and you're traveling. Actually, what you did is that you take HaKadosh Baruch Hu from upstairs and you drag him around with you. I said, this is the, I used to say, this is the secret of success in lifetime. And the secret of so-called success in the future is that we come to the conclusion that we have so-called to worry and to think where Hashem wants to be. It's not where I want to be. It is which school I should go, which house I should leave, and where is my office. This is where to ask where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be. If I begin to drag him to the place he doesn't want to be, so that's going to end up like the desert. And this is why Parashat Maaseh is very important, because so-called we're getting back to the original status that we had when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. And so the purpose of creation is that we should feel it. The conclusion of this Chumash is to teach you, to tell you that what happened. So the Parashat will end with that story. It says, those girls, you know, the 40 years old girls, five daughters of Safat, could not find a shidduch. I don't know, there's no information how many dates they had. You should know in those days they used to get married at the age of 7 years old. Seven. Yeah. Raimen was seven, Betalel was seven, seven, the Gemara says seven. So can you imagine somebody, I mean, in our time it's normal already. But the years before, people did not date for 33 years, you know. So not Zlofcha, those girls dated 33 years. What you call shopping for husband. At the end, they married the cousin next door. So why did you go out for date for 33 years? For what? Your cousin is here. If it was no good 33 years ago, he's not good now. What if the Torah will tell you? Information. But now, Maftir, the Baruch Hashem, those five girls, they got married to their own cousins. The first cousin that lived in the backyard. He says, you didn't want to marry him before. Why are you marrying him now? All of a sudden you like him. He should be now a great-grandmother. At 7 years old, you could have married him. So now what happened now? I said, why do you need this story in the Torah? If it really is, no, that's the conclusion, because marriage really what it means is you bring the Shekhinah. Not the marriage. It's not I married somebody. Actually, marriage means that you bring a Kadosh Baruch to you. I said, until now, you know, I thought, you know, real estate means real estate. Now, real estate doesn't mean real estate. Real estate means like this. You should know, I get a land, a place near Israel, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I is near Israel all the time. I says, now I know what it means. It means that the place I got near Israel, that's the place Hashem wants me to be there. But you know why he wants me to be there? Because he wants to be there. Not because I want to be there. I don't buy an apartment in Israel because I want to have an apartment in Israel. How do you know Hashem wants to be there? Maybe Hashem wants to be in Englewood. Why do you spend your time and money going to Israel, have an apartment? Why do you have an apartment there? There's an apartment in Israel because you hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be there. The Shekhinah wants to be in your apartment. Then you bought an apartment because Hashem wants to be there. Not because you want to have an apartment. Because if Hashem doesn't want to be in your apartment, it means you drag HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you go there, you drag him over there. So you bought a house in China. They said, well, you know what it means? It means when you go to China, it says the angels go with you, it means the Shekhinah goes with you. So I take over Beersheba, Vele Chorana. The Torah says when Yaakov left Beersheba, he goes to Choran. He's the Gemara, what it means? You know what it means? It means the Shekhinah is going with Yaakov. And when Yaakov went to Mitzrayim, the Torah says, Anuchi Adicham Mitzrayimah, Anuchi Alcha Gamalo. It is actually you're dragging the Shekhinah. I says, I'm buying a house in Israel. I says, why are you buying a house? I says, it's nice, I'm asking. No, I go there, Hakim. It's very nice. But the question is, if you buy it because you want to go there, or because you think Hashem wants to be there. You know, Hashem wants to be there, it's the right decision. If you want to be there, it's like the people in the desert. 40 is a Jacob Kadosh Mahodara. He said, those girls, you see, it says when the president of the tribe came to Moshe, he said, listen, I want to explain to them something, Moshe. It's not the way you think. He said, I don't care about island in state. That's not the problem. You know, the problem is, that's what the problem is. This land belongs to Shevet Menashe, this part. You know what it means? But it says every tribe had a special connection with the Shekhinah. There are 13 gates in Shemaim, and each tribe was connected to one of the gates. It says, when you live over here, it says, what actually it is, that when you look on top of you, where Shevet Menashe is, you have one gate over there, on top of you. So I connect myself to that gate upstairs. So you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. So that girl, the daughter of Sofa, she's getting married to somebody from Yehuda. He comes over here, he stands over here, he's saying, pray to Hashem. He says, my gate is over there. I said, listen, when you're here, you have to pray this way, not that way. And those are that's the complaint of those people. It is not talking about real estate. Who knows that the Kashmir doesn't care about real estate, and the Kashmir would not have written this in the Torah about a real estate confusion. Transaction of real estate. I mean, who would never have a business in Torah. So you have to know when you have a house, when you have a place in Eretz Israel, as its first condition is you want to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be in that place. And then you have to know that there is a straight line. Wherever you are on the top of you, that's the gate in Shamaim that your tefillah goes up. I said, those people say this. I said, Moshe, I don't understand you. Those girls are going to marry somebody else. He's going to come over here. He's going to stand over here. He's going to pray over here. How is it possible? She said, you know, they're right. When they get the land of Israel the first time, each one had to marry somebody from its own tribe. Because you not worry about the real estate, you worry about where Hashem wants to be. I said, oh, that's the concept, that's the idea. So immediately they went to the backyard, they said, okay, my cousin, come, Moshe, come, I marry you. Shalom, Mazal Tov, no Shatchanim, you don't need all this Shatchanim, and all these people to get involved. He said, I get married to you. He says, why? Because the purpose of marriage is the purpose to bring the Shekhinah. He says, I want to know where the Shekhinah is. He says, now I got the message. So that's the end of Sefer Bamidbar. Ela, mitzvot, v'mishpatim, v'shtiva Hashem. He says, now I understand. We have to follow Hashem the way He wants to do something, not that I should make Him run after my decisions. I decide I want to do in this business, I decide I want to go this, I decide I want to buy this. He says, you have to know that Hashem wants you. David HaMelech said, He wants you there. And so David HaMelech said, in the morning I thought I have to go to my office. Then I was thinking twice. He says, maybe I leave it up to my feet. My feet will drag me to the place Hashem wants to be there. Not that Hashem wants me to be there. Actually, where Hashem wants to be. He says, this is, before Shabbat, he says, you should know that everything went wrong. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because people did not think that way. That's our job, he says, is to correct this, to think all every act that we do and every place we go, that's what Hashem wants to be. Not that Hashem wants me to be, where He wants to be. Because if He doesn't want to be, I will go, but He will accompany me anyway against His own will. And the correction is to always think where He wants to be, and that's called Hashem is your shepherd, Hashem is your watchman, Hashem is your father, Abraham Avinu.
Tobie dort neu, also bei euch.